this episode of the Sailing Road Podcast, we catch back up with Will and Kat from Monday Never after their first 8 months of cruising. We'll have some fun sailing news, and our product of the week will light your way as you cruise through the dark. Well, welcome back to the Sailing Road. If you have ever dreamed of sailing off over the horizon, or if you just like to cruise the coast or your local lake, then this podcast is for you. My name is Steve, and I am joined once again by my beautiful co-host and fiancé, Brandy.
Yep, I'm still here.
Still here. She hasn't left me yet. So we've had a very busy couple weeks. I just took a new position at my company, which is meaning a lot more work.
Blech.
And a lot more travel. I probably went from 50 to 60% travel to 100% travel. And which is challenging. It's challenging especially to get this podcast out. Because
it's challenging to begin with. Now it's really challenging.
When we're not working, we are playing hard and almost never home, running around on the weekends. So we're trying to make it all work. But hopefully it will all be worthwhile and the new position will put more money in the cruising kitty.
Woohoo!
And help us get out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So we ran out of time on the last podcast. We had mentioned we had done an interview with Monday Never.
We did. We just started blabbing and blabbing and blabbing about ourselves.
It's amazing how much time
you can
fill.
How much you can talk about yourself, huh?
Exactly. And so we never really got to the interview section. We said we'd do that as a another podcast. We thought we'd put this together this week and get it out. It's probably going to be a little bit shorter show, although we say that. And then
right?
At the end of it, I'll go, it's still an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see how it goes here. The truth is, we didn't mention on the last show, but we really don't have an interview with Monday Never.
Yeah.
We did an interview with Monday Never.
We absolutely did. We had a great interview with
them. Great interview. Fantastic. Probably 45 minutes of great questions and answers.
Yeah, just casual talking.
Yeah, just really having a fun time sitting on the boats together and hanging out.
Got ready to check the recording and...
Nothing.
It wasn't recording. It recorded, I'm sorry, the first...
40 seconds.
Yeah, we let it go, and then I said, are you sure it's recording? It's recording. And it stopped somehow. Yeah. So, you know what? Poop happens, and we've got it all mental block, or not a mental block, but we had it all mental. We went back and made some good notes, and, you know, sent them over to them, and made sure that everything was good with them to... talk about on the air, and here we are.
So we're just gonna kind of talk through some of the areas. But we had planned on setting up this interview. We'd already been hanging out with them for the day before, and then came over to their boat and did it. And I had it all planned out. The problem was, anytime you do something new in a new place, it becomes a challenge. And so I brought not only one recording method. I brought two. I brought my laptop and our normal microphone we normally use, which we're using right now. And then I also brought an iPad, which I'd been playing around with, that, you know, just on the speaker picks up really well. And then you have a
digital recorder
that you use for work that you were also going to bring. And I said, no, we don't need that. I got two different types. We'll be fine. No problem.
And we weren't.
We got over to their boat, and first problem, my laptop was dead because we'd already been cruising for 2 days and I hadn't pulled it out of the bag and I didn't realize that the battery had gone dead. So I said, no problem, I'll go back to the boat and get my power cord. And as I'm about to hop off their boat and get in the dinghy, I realize that my new laptop, I don't have a cigarette lighter plug for the laptop. So I come back in and say, I'm probably not going to bother because all I have is the regular cord. And I said, I don't even know if you guys have an inverter. And they said, we have an inverter, but it's, you know, in a different place. And I said, don't worry about it. I got this iPad. I've been testing it. Sounds great. So I used the iPad and we got nothing.
Nothing. But that's all right.
Yep.
Yep.
So we, you know, if you have not heard, if you just started listening to the show and you've not heard of either Monday Never or heard our first interview, go back into our shows and you will see... I think it was last October.
It was in October
time frame that we interviewed them. And the reason I picked them and I thought it was going to be a unique interview is they had literally just, they started a blog about their plan to cruise and how they were shopping for a boat and doing all these things. And so I started following and the writing was really good and the details they went through to find and buy the boat. And they had just got down to St. Thomas and bought this boat, sight unseen,
They were there literally a week.
One week when we talked to them. So it was the perspective of a brand new cruiser, 1 week dealing with getting a boat, getting it in the water, getting it set up and ready to cruise, and got their perspective. And I think they were hot, sweaty, tired, but excited at the time.
Absolutely.
So it's about 8 months later and 9 months later, and we sat back down with them to get their thoughts and experiences.
And I just have to say, those of you who follow them on their vlog, they are just like that in person. Will is very low key, and she's got that spunk to her personality. So what you see is what you get with them with their videos. So yeah, they're a very, very cool couple.
Lots of fun. So we got to, one of the first things I'd asked them about was their experiences since that first week and how, you know, kind of the different expectations that if they look back and what they were thinking at that time to what they really experienced and what they found as they cruised. And the fact is that Will had a lot of cruising experience. He'd spent some time being a skipper down in the Caribbean. And so it really,
he was familiar with
that. Yeah. It wasn't anything new to him. He said it was exactly like I expected. It was great. I enjoyed it. We were having a blast. Right. But Kat really had almost no sailing experience. And one of her big things is that she thought she'd be bored.
Yep.
Is what she said.
I think of that often. Yeah. Because I'm a busybody. So our boat will be immaculately clean. And I think about all the things that I'll need to take on board to show myself as a hobby. So,
so that was one of her big concerns. And, I mean, what was her response to that as far as...
There was no way she was bored.
Yeah.
she found so much to do. She became obsessed with fishing, as you guys can probably see in their videos, which is great.
Yeah.
And she stayed busy being on the boat, so...
Yeah, I think she said the fishing just became all-consuming, and she really got into it. Got her excited every day that they were going to do a passage, and she was going to be able to throw that line in the water and see what they could catch. And so it's just it's infectious to watch her on video and all the fun she had.
I'm wondering if I'll catch on to fishing, because we don't do a lot of fishing on the boat, and I personally don't think I've ever actually taken a fish off of a hook. So I wonder how I'll do with fishing.
I think you'll do really well. I think you're a very competitive person. And I think you will be competing to see, okay, what's the biggest fish I can catch,
right.
You know, that
beat the day before.
So, and it's funny because I know in one of the videos she had said that she got obsessed, I think, after the first fish and immediately went out and bought hundreds of dollars in fishing equipment and said that the second fish was probably the most expensive fish they ever ate in their lives.
And if you guys saw the video with her with that very expensive reel, it is mounted on the back of their boat, and it literally is the size of our head.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was huge.
The pen, the massive pen.
Whatever it was.
Somebody gave them some advice to buy the biggest pen reel they could find, and that was it. It was huge.
Yeah, they didn't have a rod to go with it, but you know.
Yeah. So then we asked Kat, because she hadn't sailed very much, is how she felt about her sailing skills now after 8 months.
This answer really surprised me.
Yeah. So she said she was very confident now. In fact, she felt that she was so confident that she could actually be a skipper in the BVIs. Now, the BVIs is protected waters, and it's not long passages, but she really felt, you know, she could do everything, you know, get between islands, anchor, do all that kind of thing. And she said it really became apparent when there were family and friends on board and they were doing a passage and Will had to go down and rest, and she was in charge.
Yep, she was able to direct what needed to be done. That's awesome.
And she said, you know, you start realizing you're telling these other people that don't know a lot about sailing exactly what to do, how to do it, how to get what they need to get done. And she said it was amazing. She really felt the confidence. And she said that, you know, still on long passages, she, you know, doesn't have quite that confidence that Will has on setting up all the navigation and everything, and then also fixing things in the boat.
But that also says something for Will, too. I think it shows that he was able to teach her, you know, constantly having her be hands-on, too. Because if the other person on the boat isn't being hands-on, they're never going to have that confidence. They're going to be confident on steering the boat while, you know, you're around, but definitely not to say that they could charter a boat. So good for them.
So then we asked them, if they had any kind of scary experiences or major problems with the boat. And honestly, they said there was nothing major.
Yeah.
You know, 8 months cruising, they really didn't have any problems.
Little fix-it things here and there, they said, but the boat actually was really great, so... Yeah.
They did mention the drowning of a dinghy outboard
that
they had to replace, but it was quickly said that we don't talk about that.
Yeah, notice you did not see that on a video, I don't believe. I think they did talk about getting a new dinghy on one of the videos, just but the they thought didn't of it, I think, have that on video.
Yeah, just the thought of it was something they didn't want to relive, so yeah. They put that one behind them, but... And they said they only dealt with a few squalls, and they really weren't proud of
Their weather channel weather windows were great for them.
Yeah, they worked out really well. So then we asked them, you know, how the boat has worked out, and once again they said, you know, no major problems. You know, when they first saw it, because they bought this sight unseen, they were a little bit taken back when it's sitting on the hard and it's dirty and there's spiders on it. But they said, you know, really, it was pretty quick to get it ready. They said a few things were missed by the surveyor, but Will said, honestly, if he was there with the surveyor, he wouldn't have caught it either, that it was nothing major. All the engine and the rigging have all worked out well. They really didn't have any problems in those areas. And we really thought it was a nice boat. I know when we've been to boat shows, we'd kind of said, well, it looks like we'd probably go between 40 and 45 feet. But after looking at their boat and seeing them living on it, it really was comfortable. It had a lot of living space, a lot of storage.
The cockpit was huge.
Yeah. It's a beamy boat towards the back. And I think a lot of the modern boats, I don't know, they just don't feel as, I guess they're beamy in the back, but it had a different size and feel to it. So it had a really nice layout. It's a Merlin 36, a CS36 Merlin. And it's just, I thought it was just really comfortable, good size inside. The galley was good size, everything.
So. It was, but I still think we need to go between a 40 and 45. We're going to be living on it a lot longer. Let's remember, they had a year plan to be on this boat.
That's true.
And even though we all know that plans are changing, but...
But we could, if we, it would be, you know, we could make that comfortable. I think we can make comfort. She's not speaking to me here, so giving me the look.
He's getting the look.
We'll see.
Oh, the discussions we will have when we start buying our boat.
So we asked about buying the boat in St. Thomas now that they've had some time to think about it. And
they were so happy with
their
decision.
They were extremely happy. Not just that they felt that they got a good boat and everything's worked out. The main reason, they said, is that they talked to so many people when they were cruising that had come down from Florida and the Bahamas that year, and it had to be it was a particularly rough year for the weather.
Yeah, the passages were just hard.
The weather windows didn't allow people to start coming down to the islands till late in the season, and it really caused some hard passages, and they said they were just worn out. I mean, you're beating into the weather the whole time. If you've got a spouse that's kind of coming along for the ride, this isn't her dream, it's yours. They're already getting worn out. They haven't got to the fun part of the BVIs.
And Will said he was extremely happy that he didn't have to do that with Kat, because he doesn't know if they would have made it the 9 months that they made, because, you know, he was afraid she would have been worn out if they did it that direction. So that they were extremely happy with doing it that way.
Yeah,
so.
And she did say she was apprehensive, and after talking to those people, she really wonders if it would have been a totally different scene, trip, and satisfaction at this point had they bought a boat in Florida and sailed it down, because hers was completely, it was great from the start.
Right,
right from day one, they're doing the BVI, you know, protected sailing, you know, started off a little short, and then they start building up the passages a little bit longer.
Right.
But, you know, and they also said that St. Thomas is a great place to do boat work, because it's got all these channelries. It's, you know, it's easy to find people to help and work on the boat, and there's good supplies. It's a U.S. territory, so you don't have to, if you got to ship something in, you don't have to deal with a lot of the customs and all that kind of thing.
Yep,
so
they were able to take care of everything they needed.
So they thought that was great. We also asked about, you know, how the passages went, and they said their longest passage was 48 hours. That was from Dominica to Puerto Rico, but really no problems. I mean, that's, you know, 2 day passage is not bad for doing so. And they're going the right direction. I mean, it's a lot easier, you know, going that way than into the winds. They said as they were heading down the islands, because they went down to Grenada and then turned back and came back up, they were close to the wind, so they were beaten into the wind a bit, but they said it was still sailable. The one thing he said that I think a lot of people don't realize is that, especially heading down island, that 6 to 8 feet seas are normal. So if people are sitting somewhere saying, well, I'm going to wait until the seas are 2 to 3, you're going to be waiting a long time. You just got to go and sail. And he said it's just part of beating, you know, down island is going through these pretty much anywhere, going south
when
or north.
When you say down island, does that mean like downwind?
It's down the island. So you're going down to Grenada and then you're coming back up.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
So they said, you know, that that all of that was, it was fine sailing down. And then as soon as you turn around, you're Grenada and you're heading upwind, he said he had never done a lot of downwind sailing. And he was surprised how kind of uncomfortable
it was.
It's easy sailing because, you know, you get the wind behind you and you're kind of going with the seas. But the rolling effect was really uncomfortable. He said that really surprised him. And dealing with a preventer and all that, so you don't have jibes and things. He just said it was almost better, you know, going into the wind, close to the wind. But he said they did have some really nice sails coming up when it wasn't so rolly. We talked about the Gulf Stream crossing because they had just crossed the Gulf Stream from the Bahamas a couple days before we met up with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd been reading for years about all these horror stories of going across the Gulf Stream. Yep. And he said it was one of their easiest passages. And in fact, when I looked at the weather, when I knew they were going to be coming over, it was a perfect weather crossing. They had south winds.
And I can't remember, did they say that they motored over or they sailed over? I believe I remember them saying they motored over.
I'm not sure. I can't remember if he did or didn't.
I don't remember either.
I don't know if the winds were that high then that week. So he said they did a lot of motor sailing. That was one of the next questions that I asked him about, is the percentage of time that they've sailed over the cruise. And he said they really did sail quite often because the trade winds are good down in the islands. But he said they didn't hesitate for a minute to motor.
Right.
You know, number one, they weren't sure their time frame. They wanted to get places and see things. But also, he said their engine only burns like a half gallon an hour at the cruising speed that they want to go. So they're like, it's not that, you know, it's not that big a deal. Turn on the engine, use it, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between the mindset of cruisers who only have a year plan and cruisers who have, you know,
they're trying
years.
Well, they're also trying to stretch the pennies every little bit they can.
Exactly.
So. And I asked them, I think the next question we came up was did you feel rushed to get to certain places because you only had a year plan? And they said not really. They were just kind of going with the flow. And
yeah. They said they did fall behind about a month, but it wasn't anything that they were concerned about. That they, you know, they knew what time span they wanted to stay on, but they did fall off of it. But
yeah, I think the next part we talked about was kind of interesting, that they said they found that they liked to keep moving.
I can agree with this. I really can agree with this thought process, because I think that once we start cruising, I think the longer that we sit, we're going to want to see more. We know that there's so much out there that it's going to, you know, you can only sit somewhere for so long unless you have, I don't know, the patience, I guess, just to sit there.
Yeah, but they saw it in different cruisers. People would get comfortable somewhere because it was easy to get to the laundry. There was cheap beer. You know, everything, they had the place figured out. You know, the anchorage wasn't rolling.
Yeah, but the place isn't going anywhere. There's still so much other stuff to see.
But then again, I think it's also, you know, they think about, it's a challenge to do the next passage. You know, you're going to have to be uncomfortable for maybe overnight or something like that. And people just think about that and they're like, hey, this is paradise. I got a beautiful beach. The water's clear. I got good beer. So that, I think there's different people that just get somewhere and they want to sit and they get stuck. But they said that they would find themselves after being somewhere for a couple of days, all of a sudden their excitement when they pulled into the anchor, they're like, yeah, we did it, we're somewhere new, would suddenly after you know, a week be, you know, they felt themselves getting kind of depressed and down, and they realized it was because they weren't moving, and that was their signal to get up and go. So we asked them about their favorite places they visited so far, and I think they said the Saints and the Grenadines were really good. There was always good food, fresh baguettes and wine, you know, and that kind of the French European atmosphere. I've heard a lot of people say that it's just really neat kind of atmosphere down on the islands and those islands. And then
Will said Luperon.
He did say Luperon. Luperon
was on his high list of favorite spots because he, how did he describe it? He said it was very colorful. The food was colorful. The people were, you know, loud and talkative, and the towns were very, buildings were colorful. And he said, you know, most cruisers aren't fond of the place, which we have heard. I've actually read a book where Luperon, I asked him, you know, do you agree with it being called Pooperon, is what I read in the book that I just am about to finish. And he's like, you know, no, not really. He loved the city and loved the,
I mean, they definitely said it's not the bay is very protected. It's right. Great hurricane hole. So it doesn't get washed out as clean. You're not going to go swimming in the water. But he said the upside is that it is a really fun place. And there's always talk by cruisers. There's a lot of corruption there. I think we just watched their video on their trip to Luperon. And they paid $110. They got a receept for everything. You know, they didn't know where the money went, but they didn't really care. It's, you know, it's, they felt it was reasonable for the place they went to, and they felt safe. They said that, you know, it's just a fun place. There's always music, lively, but there's cheap beer and it's convenient. And he said they actually could have stayed longer, but they wanted to keep moving. Yeah. So that was one place that they would have stayed longer. They also really liked, and if you've seen their videos, they had a fun time in Puerto Rico and San Juan. Said, you know, out of all the islands they went to, it just, that old San Juan was just such a nice place to vacation that they've said, you know, if once they're done sailing and they're working jobs somewhere,
this will be where they'll vacation.
That they'll literally pick up for a weekend because and go there because the flights are cheap.
We don't have anything planned this weekend.
Well, there goes the movie. See, this is why we don't get podcasts.
This is what happens. We start talking about something. We were just sitting on the couch earlier and watching, I don't even remember what video it was. And we looked at each other and said, I'm going to go pick up the boat. This is what happens, people.
This is another advantage of once the kids are grown and you independent, can just leave them. You just say, hey, we're going to be gone this weekend. So. So we'll, I don't think that's
to be honest, happen. It just doesn't happen enough.
we asked him about the least liked places.
Which I don't want to say that I'm surprised, but from our cruise, when we went into the Bahamas, I was kind of bored. But when we went with our friends to the Exumas, I was in love.
Right.
So I think it really just depends on what part of the Bahamas you're at. So their least favorite.
That wasn't his reason for not liking the Bahamas. They said the Bahamas for islands, beautiful water, great beaches, that and the little towns and stuff. Lifestyle is great. It was just very quiet, and you know they're kind of like us. They like to go in somewhere and find a lively. Restaurant or, you know, things going on, you know, something going on in town. And they also went in summer. And the Bahamas in the summer, we've had friends that have gone over summer, and they said that half the stuff is closed because their busiest season is in the winter when all the boats come down and they work their way from Florida over to Georgetown. And a lot of people, that's their entire cruise. They go to Georgetown, they sit there for a couple months, party, have a great time, and then turn around and go back in the fall. So they were there when it was really slow, but they said it was, that was what, why they didn't really feel. And the provisions were really tough to get, really skim, you know, fruits and vegetables just looked awful, you know, whereas in the islands they were finding some great stuff. So, but they still said it was a great place to cruise. It just was out of all the stuff they had to pick one place that they least liked. That was the Bahamas. You know, we talked more about, fishing with Kat because she just, you know, it's so cool to see how excited she got. If you haven't seen, they just put up a video on YouTube and it was originally on their Facebook page.
Yeah, it's just a short video.
Of her biggest fish, which was a white marlin, which was probably, I don't know.
She said it was as long as her legs.
Yeah. Well, I just looked at the video and when Will picked it up by the spear, the snout on the front, It was probably up to her waist.
Size of her body.
It was probably about half her size. It was a good sized fish, but it was jumping out of the water and stuff, and they were just having a great time with it. So that was probably her biggest achievement in fishing. Yeah, and she said it was funny. She's like, before I went on this trip, you know, you see these shows on TV these guys catching these marlin. She's like, why would anybody want to catch one of those? You're not going to eat it. You know, what's the excitement about that? And she's like, now she totally gets it.
Yep. She's ready to catch
more. She's like, I want to catch more of these things. I said, we'd asked them. I said, well, the next boat, are you going to mount a big fishing chair on the back?
Oh.
And she goes, oh, we've definitely thought about the next boat will be set up specifically for fishing.
Right. Will said that there's been a couple times that he had to actually catch her because she almost fell off the boat while fishing. So
and she gets so engrossed in catching the fish.
Get so excited. Forget you're on a boat and near water and go trampling over. Yeah. So
they said they often clipped her in now. After the first couple scares, they made sure she was clipped in before she goes those. So we asked them just kind of overall thoughts now that they've had this cruising time. And I think the net of it was they said it just brought out a passion for travel even greater than they had before. They both had a passion for travel, but they just said it's been such a great trip. And they just got so hooked on that adrenaline of going to that next place that they're totally in love with travel. And so, you know, I think everybody's curious about what they have planned next. And when we were with them, they weren't really sure. They weren't sure where they were going to go next. I knew they
had lots of thoughts.
They were going north. And shortly after we were with them, it became apparent some of what they were doing because the boat went up for sale last week. So if you follow them on Facebook or you go over to their website, you will see an ad up for the boat. It's a 1989 CS-36 Merlin, and it is on sale right now for $36,000, which Brandy and I can tell you
is it's a beautiful boat.
Fantastic deal. Absolutely. And they just proved they did 8 months of cruising, almost no problems with the boat, had a blast on it, and somebody else can take that over and do the exact same thing again. For $36,000. So everybody thinks they need this fancy boat to have a great time and experience all this. You don't. I mean, they proved it. They bought a boat.
It's all about your needs.
Yeah, and made it work. So we're all just going to have to follow along and see what's up next and where they go.
Yeah, I'm excited for them. When we talked to them, they had a lot of thoughts, but no plans quite yet. So It's definitely not the end of Monday Never, but, you know, it's the end on Paradox. So.
And they said they want to keep traveling. They definitely believe that they'll get a sailboat again in the future, but they just want to have some other travel adventures. And I think it'll be exciting that they've got a knack for doing these videos and sucking people into the adventure.
Yeah.
And I think that's key. And so people will keep following along and we definitely encourage everybody to see what they're doing next, because whatever it's going to be, it's great entertainment. So something else that I want to talk about on the podcast, I thought about this is after this interview and kind of doing this format rather than the audio, is as you listen to our interviews with people, I often do this when I'm listening to interviews. I'm thinking, oh, you should have asked this or you should have asked that. So we're going to add a new feature in our podcast called What We Forgot to Ask. And what we want you to do is while you're listening to the interview, you think of something that you'd really like to know that we didn't ask, because, you know, we're new at this interview thing and we're learning as we go. But even the best interviews, sometimes you get sidetracked and you miss an important question that everybody's really got on their minds. So send us an email to crew@thesailingroad.com, crew@thesailingroad.com. And for any of our guests, just say, hey, I'd really like to know what they thought about this or that or what kind of question you have. And we will put those together, we'll get with that guest, and we'll put it on a future show.
Yeah, we definitely keep in touch with some of the people that we do interviews with. So it's very easy to shoot them an email and ask them the questions for you. So it's kind of getting you guys involved with our interviews and also hearing from you. So
yeah. So when you're screaming at your headset saying,
oh man, I want to know about this.
Yeah. You idiot, why didn't you ask this? This is your chance.
Yeah, definitely.
Let us know. So that's it for that.
Yep. Sorry again, we didn't have the actual interview on audio, but we hope you guys actually liked the format of this as well.
Yeah, so we tried to make do here. We definitely
kicked ourselves in the butt for this.
It kind of really hurt the second half of our cruise through Biscayne Bay, because every day it was eating at me, because we had such a fun time talking to them. And when it's such a great interview and the interaction's great, you really want that on audio. So we apologize for losing it, but we'll do better next time. So up next is the sailing news. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with some sailing news for the week. And our first story comes out of England. And in the UK, a small yacht without lights, a VHF radio, GPS, or flares was rescued by the Scarborough RNLI after suffering an engine failure in the middle of the night.
The best part is the ironic name of it.
Yeah, the name of the boat was Don't Panic.
Which, do you think he panicked?
I think he was panicking. Lifeboat press officer Dave Barry said the skipper of the aptly named Don't Panic was fortunate that his phone battery wasn't dead and that he could get a signal. Otherwise, the offshore wind could have blown him into the shipping lanes where he would have been in grave danger. The skipper of Don't Panic called the Coast Guard via 999, which must be the emergency number for England, and estimated that he was a quarter mile offshore when he got into difficulties because the boat's engine had a mechanical failure. So they launched a lifeboat at 1:02 a.m. on June 28th, and they quickly located the yacht by radar, and he was a mile and a half east of the harbor. And they also homed in on him with the help of the light from the skipper's cell phone.
That's crazy.
So they towed the boat back into harbor, and you got to see the pictures of this boat. So Don't Panic looks all of about 14 feet long. It's a little cabin day boat, but it is tiny. It's a little, I don't even know what brand this. I'm sure somebody will look at the story and go, I know that boat, because they've got different boats over in the UK. But it maybe not even be 14 feet long. This thing,
you know,
is,
do you think him getting off that far was just, I mean, obviously he didn't mean to get out that far, but do you really go on a boat without any of that stuff? I mean,
at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy. That guy should be very happy to still have his life.
Well, the lifeguard issued a safety warning after this rescue, and John Senior, lifeboat operations manager, said, "It is imperative that any leisure craft putting out to sea should have a fully functional VHF marine radio, flares as a bare minimum."
You think?
They said, "There is no legal requirement for a leisure craft to have these things, but we would strongly advise that such vessels have a means of sending out a distress call other than a mobile phone, which should be only used as a backup. We also recommend that if you're going out at night or dusk, that you actually have lights and have informed someone onshore of your intentions." So
there's got to be more. I mean, obviously, we're just getting the one side of the story. But maybe he was out and fell asleep on his boat and then drifted out farther. But that's just.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I guess there's different legal requirements for boats all over the world.
Yeah.
But to even say that there's no requirements, I would think there's requirements for all boats at night. I know there is in the United States, but so Don't Panic was panicked.
I think so.
Either that or he was just really drunk, you know. Yeah. So we'll see. But they got him back. And our next story involves a tanker hitting three moored sailboats in the Piscataqua River. The Coast Guard is working to determine why a 477-foot-long tanker ship hit three moored sailboats near the mouth of the Piscataqua River on the Maine, New Hampshire border.
Yikes.
Yeah, scary. The Coast Guard spokesman said the unoccupied sailboats were damaged when they were hit by the tanker around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and one sailboat's mast was broken, but all three remained afloat, which is surprising after you've been hit by a 477-foot-long tanker. The Coast Guard officials have identified the tanker as the Chem Venus, and they believe that the tanker's crew ran it aground on a ledge near Goat Island and lost control of the steering and hit the sailboats.
Yikes.
So you can imagine here. Hey, you know, having sundowners, it's 4 o'clock, you know, hey, it's a little early, but let's sit around, you know, enjoy the mooring and have a few sundowners, and
all of a sudden
you look over your shoulder and a 477-foot tanker is mowing you down.
But those boats were unoccupied.
They were just sitting on. But you know, they could have been.
Somebody there could have been other boats in there. They just didn't hit those three boats.
Yeah,
so.
Somebody just sitting out there enjoying the view. That's such a nice day out.
Could you imagine how fast we'd be pulling anchor and try to get out of there?
Oh my God, that would be scary. I'm sure they were blowing the horn maybe, but they said they I guess it was being escorted by two tugboats, but I guess they weren't able to stop it.
You couldn't see the tugboats either, huh?
I don't know. I don't know where what the tugboats were. I guess the tugboats, once it was happening, they couldn't slow it down or stop it. But they were trying to, one local guy, this Glenn Kish, says he lives there and saw it all happen. And there's a really sharp turn in the Piscataqua River right there between Goat Island and Henderson Point. And he said that, you know, I guess as it was coming around the corner, maybe the rudder hit the ground or something, they lost steering, and they just kept going straight through the corner instead and hit these sailboats that were in the corner.
I guess it could have been a lot more damage than what it was.
So, lesson learned, do not moor in the deep corner where... Piscataqua River, where large tankers are coming through that could mow you down if they lose their steering. And our last story this week, because this was kind of cool... Auckland sailor Paul Thompson can't always hear everything that's around him while he's at sea because he's partially deaf. And he has this cat that helps him out. He got this 6-month-old ginger Maine coon who he's called Strauss von Scattlebowl of Ruppelpaws. Really, he calls him Scatty. So Scatty for
God,
sure.
What a name.
Yeah, that was a hell of a name.
At first, I thought that was the name of the type of cat, but then I'm realizing, no, that's Maine Coon.
Nope, that's Scatty. Right. So Scatty helps out Paul, and he said, without any training, Scatty has figured out that Paul can't hear, and on his own accord, he'll let him know if a boat comes up beside him, or if people are at the door, or even when his phone gets text messages, Scatty will tell him that his phone's got text messages.
The animals are amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And Paul's originally from South Africa. He's a 68-year-old computer programmer, and he built his own 32-foot double-ended junk named La Chica himself, and he lives on board, and there's pictures of it. It looks like a beautiful boat. And with the junk rig, have you ever seen a junk rig? Like that.
I didn't know that's what it was.
It's a twin-masted junk rig. Looks really cool. And Scatty's also unique in that Scatty is a polydactyl cat. It means that he was born with extra toes on each paw. And
got good sea legs then.
Yeah, that's what they said. That it's a trait that was considered highly desirable by old-time sailors who believed that the cats were really good at mousing and that they had a better grip on deck because they had the big wide feet. He's got some big old paws. And so Paul really likes having Scatty on board. He said he's only fallen in the water once, and it was when the water was really cold. It took him about 2 hours to warm him back up, and he didn't move a whole lot for the rest of the day. But he keeps a good eye on him, and he said he's actually training. They're actually going to go on a circumnavigation within the next year, and he's going to take him overseas with him. And that he's also training him to be a therapy cat so that they can go into rest homes and share the love and show him his big paws.
You know, he's a cute cat. Kind of looks like a little lion. It has like a mane around his head.
So that's Scatty and Paul. A little fun story. Going around the world, helping each other out, being good companions.
And that's the sailing news.
That is the sailing news. So up next, we've got our product of the week. Welcome back. We are going to cover our product of the week now. And the product of the week this week has been very valuable on the boat. It is a Stanley Fatmax waterproof LED spotlight. And we have used this quite often because we're often find ourselves, even though we often don't like to do it, but we often find ourselves trying to find our anchorage at night. And that's usually because we've been hanging out somewhere, listening to music and having a few beers and then realizing, oh, it's getting dark. We got to get back.
Or you get home from traveling at 5:00 in the afternoon and say, hey, you want to go ahead and leave now?
Yep. So we're usually trying to find a place to anchor, and this little spotlight comes in really handy.
Yeah, and I like it because it's not very big.
It's got
a great beam on it. Right. So.
Very lightweight and very small, and it's rechargeable, completely waterproof. I looked at a lot of different ones. There were some at West Marine and other areas when I bought this one. And I just thought, for the price point, we've used this for 2 years. We charge it up before every trip. It's got a 10-hour runtime, 520 lumens, which we found to be plenty for, you know, navigating around places, finding markers, spotting markers as we come up on them.
And usually, if we're going somewhere at dark, we've 8 times out of 10 have been in that area. We usually, right. I'm very adamant about getting anchored before the sun sets because it just, it's more comfortable doing it that way. But if we're using it, then we've usually been in that area before. So
right. And it's good because it's waterproof. And then if you drop it overboard, it will float. And
unlike some other things. Yeah.
We drop lots of things overboard that do not float and are not waterproof. But this one is. So check it out. It is right now on Amazon. It's around $36. And we've...
Of course, it is in our Amazon store.
Yeah, we've got it in the Amazon store. And as always, as we talk about Amazon, we've got a lot of our listeners now using our Amazon link. And it really helps
us
out.
Thank you.
It makes such a difference to when we get that support. So you can buy things through our Amazon store or just use our Amazon link. There are menu buttons at the top of our website at thesailingroad.com that goes to both of those areas. If you go into the Amazon store, there's over 100 products now that we use and recommend on the boat. You can see all those types of things.
And again, some of those products are people who sent stuff into us.
Yeah, we have listener recommendations. We haven't got any of those in a while. So if you're listening or a new listener...
Yeah, you guys should be out boating right now. You should be using lots of different things. So if there's something you're using often, send it our way. Let us know.
Yeah, and we'll put it in the store. We'll put your name on it that you recommended it. And it's always great to hear. There's some things that, you know, people sail different than we do or cruise differently than we do. And you may have an idea of something that would really help out other people. So we'd love to hear that. And, you know, there's always a lot of great gift ideas in there. If you have somebody's birthday coming up, something that's a sailor, look in there. There's always something that you can grab for them, and I'm sure they will like it.
Yep. And don't forget, we are on social media. We're doing a lot of live notifications on Facebook. So make sure that you like us on Facebook, because when we do the live notifications, it will send you a quick notification saying that we are live and you can see us, what we're doing right at the moment. And of course, Instagram, don't forget to tag your sailing pictures over the summer. Hashtag the sailing road so that we can see what's going on in your world. And YouTube, subscribe to our channel. I am in the middle of finishing up our Sebastian trip. I had some audio trouble the other day that I couldn't figure out, so I had to wait for Steve to get home from his trip. But I should have another video out soon.
And, you know, if you're enjoying the podcast, we could really use your help. And so we have set up a new support page on our site that has all the ways you can support the podcast just to make it easy so we don't have to go everything on the show every time. Just go to thesailingroad.com and select support from the menu, and you'll see all the ways you can help. Everything from telling other sailors and cruisers about the show to just using our Amazon link or even throwing a few dollars in our tip jar. It all really helps. And we'd love to hear from you. So, you know, give us feedback on the show. We'd love to hear what you like, what you don't like, and also just to hear about your sailing and cruising adventures. We heard from Bob and Evelyn on Carolina Dreaming last week. They have some amazing cruising plans of essentially starting off on a circumnavigation and heading over to from Florida all the way over to
Australia. They're in North Carolina right now, though.
Yeah. So big plans. It's exciting to hear people listening that are just, you know,
planning. Yeah, I think they said they'll start that in about a year. So that's cool. That it would be something that we'll be able to follow, too. So
yeah, absolutely. So that is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and we really appreciate all your support, and we hope to see you on the water soon.
See you, everybody.